Okay, as of this time.
Ooh. You break it?
A small room.
I'd like to call to order the public meeting of the governing board of the Cochise County Community College District. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for joining us this evening. Bring us to 1.03, adoption of the agenda. Dr. Perry, does the agenda stand as published today?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.02, the agenda has been properly advertised and can be adopted with no further modification. The board may take action.
Wonderful. Thank you. Need a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 1.04, citizens in person interim. Ms. Wheeler, do we have anybody signed up?
I had no request to address the board today.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Bring us to 1.05, standing reports. 1.05.1, representative to the Arizona Association of Community College Trustees. There's no report this month. This is no updates. 1.05.2 is the Senate report. There's no Senate report this month as the November 2025 meeting was canceled. 1.05.3 is the Student Governments Association report. We had a wonderful report in our packet. Any questions on that report?
Yeah.
Moving right along, 1.05.4, Dr. Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Kind of as we enter the final stretch of the fall semester, just want to say thank you to all the faculty, staff, and of course the students and the board for all the work that they've done. It's an extremely busy time as we kind of wrap up year-end responsibilities, finals are going on, all those various things, but the team continues to be committed and do remarkable work. So thank you for all you do for this semester and the whole year. Moving on to the legislative update, the 2026 Arizona legislative session will begin on January 12th. As I've mentioned before, as it approaches, the fiscal context remains extremely tight with revenue growth falling short of initial projections. The JLBC, or Joint Legislative Budget Committee, currently estimates only $67 million in discretionary funding. But if you add within that soft sales tax paired with Arizona's need to conform to any kind of new laws from the federal level, it could mean revenue reductions of more than $400 million in FY26 and $330 million in 2027. As you're aware, in September, the community colleges submitted their budget to the governor. So currently, the governor is working on her budget, which she will submit then to the legislature in January. If you've been keeping up with the newspapers, the governor has signaled her plan that there will be tax cuts for Arizonans in that plan. We don't know exactly what that will look like, but essentially then she will send her budget to the legislature. They'll start working back and forth, hopefully to come up with a balanced budget by June 30th for the next year. Starting July 1. If not, then we could potentially have another, at least statewide shutdown if that doesn't happen. Another interesting piece for this legislative session is that there have been already 32 pre-filed measures or bills put in place. Last year, there were over 1,700 bills for the legislative session, which is only the second most in state history. So we expect that it will be an extremely busy legislative session with a number of bills coming through. As always, we'll continue to remain proactive in our advocacy, not only tracking what's happening at the legislative level, but whether or not we have certain bills that are going to impact the college specifically and our ability to serve students. On that note, in regards to advocacy, 2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to have lunch with Senator Gowin and Representatives Diaz and Griffin. Coming away from that meeting, you know, there I was able to share the critical work that Cochise College is doing, not just for the county, but our communities, as well as our students. I think we've got three staunch supporters in what we do here within Cochise County that, if needed, will go to bat for us in those regards. We'll continue to cultivate those relationships. This year, the community colleges chose not to have a legislative day with all of the community colleges down at the legislature, but we will probably do something individually where we can take some students down and maybe even a couple board members and some key administrators or faculty to meet with our legislative reps as well, maybe have lunch with them, and again, talk about the great things that are happening in Cochise. Moving on to the federal level, of course, with the federal government reopening, Congress has resumed work on rulemaking and appropriations. I think some of the bigger ones or things that are happening with regards to us specifically is the Department of Education is moving forward on the implementation of Workforce Pell in the federal rulemaking process. So I think just last week, the department released a draft regulatory language outlining how short-term workforce programs may qualify for Pell eligibility. So we'll be reviewing that here shortly. One of those things as well is within those regulations is state level approval of eligible programs. They want to make sure that any kind of short-term Pell monies are spent are directly related or in line with what is needed in the workforce within Arizona and hopefully specifically counties, because what's happening in Maricopa is not what's happening in Cochise, is not what's happening in Pima and some of these other, or Yuma County. So we've got, I think three individuals have been asked to join the governor's group, I think, in the next 2 days. Have you guys received, Sheena, have you received an email?
Yes.
Okay. Correct. So the governor is starting to look at what this would look like from the statewide level. We're probably actually a little bit behind of what other states are down the road on looking at this, but at least we're starting some momentum. They expect the feds expect all of this rulemaking and everything to be ready to go, at least at the federal level, by July 1, 2026. From the federal level, yes, it possibly could be in place. I'm apprehensive that the state can meet that deadline, but hopefully we'll be in a position, if not to start offering short-term Pell, at least to be looking at the short-term to be able to do that, if not fall, then hopefully spring. Another, in November, the U.S. Department of Education announced that it signed a major intra-agency agreements, six of them, with the Departments of Labor, the Departments of State, Labor, Interior, Human and Health Services, to begin offloading various Department of Education programs. The administration has signaled that they would like to disband the Department of Education, but they can't do that federally because it's sanctioned by Congress, right? So some of the things they're doing is offloading some of these programs to other agencies. Really for us, elementary, secondary education programs move to the Department of Labor, as well as post-secondary education programs moving to the Department of Labor. Right now, what that looks like is career technical education, including Carl Perkins and Technical Education Act functions, adult education programs that are currently under WIOA, and some post-secondary workforce programs then would shift to the Department of Labor. The indication is that there will be no stop in allocation of those funds necessarily, but we don't know with that switching over to the Department of Labor how that exactly is going to implement or affect us. So we'll continue to look at what the feds are doing, how that trickles down, and that what we need to do to be nimble and flexible as they make those changes. And I think that's the key, is that we will continue to monitor the federal regulatory changes, evolve as needed, and shift as those national priorities shift, and remain focused on being fully compliant in what we need to do while still best serving students on the federal level. Moving on to some facilities updates throughout the district. Our facilities department continues to work with the Gordian Group on the facility condition index or assessment. Hopefully, we can have something going into early spring, maybe some information for the board. Douglas Campus, the Custom and Border Protection Tower relocation has taken place, so it has been relocated, again, just west of where it currently was. Escrow documents have been signed for the City of Douglas well parcel. If you remember, we signed an agreement with them to go ahead and for them to purchase a piece within the Douglas campus. The IGA and waterline easement review is in progress, and we expect well site development to start tentatively somewhere around March. The Welcome Center turnabout has been completed, and I know that we continue to work on irrigation improvements, trees and shrubs within that area. Adult education, the 400 building renovation and drainage improvement. Roof demolition was delayed. I think it's taking place this week. Is that correct? Yes. We are receiving contractor proposals for roofing. Those are to be finalized, and of course, will come through the institution. And then drainage improvement drawing completed, and contractor proposal has been received. The board will be asked to approve action on that tonight. And then interior build back will start after the exterior renovations are completed. The rodeo grounds, we've got an older trailer out there that has had some mold issues. So we're going to go ahead and demolish that. That should be scheduled to start next week. And then general classrooms, the 700 building, the large conference room renovation continues, but I think we've got two offices now that are fully done,
one small conference
and one small conference room in that building. So those were rooms that we repurposed based on moving out of the 100 building that Hensel Phelps moved into. So that allows us some additional room for meetings for administration as well as conference rooms. On this year, Vista Campus, technology services and staff continue to relocate to the 2600, as well as while we continue to do interior finishes and refurbish as staff continue to move in. And on the downtown center, again, as I mentioned before, helicopter flight simulator delivery is tentatively scheduled for spring break, and we're currently monitoring that. I don't know, Dr. Davis or Jim, are we going to put the storefront back in?
Yes.
We are scheduled for the 14th, 15th, and 16th to put the storefront back.
Next week of January. Okay. All right. Fantastic.
Yeah, they've got a long lead time to get it done, so.
All right. Thank you. On some of the initiatives. So tonight you're going to get two phenomenal presentations, both by the Dean of Business and CTE, as well as Dean Scarborough on workforce. But I'd like to kind of just give an overview of kind of this last year, if you'd allow me to. So just a moment to kind of reflect on some of the work that's been done. Over the past year, the college has very intentionally been about advancing a focused set of priorities and initiatives focused on a number of things, including student success, workforce alignment, and long-term sustainability. Much of this year's work is really focused on continuing to strengthen the foundation that was already built while improving systems and aligning what we do from a planning, budgeting, and decision standpoint in regards to meeting our mission. From the student success perspective this year, we continue to explore how we further define and measure student success. And that work will continue into this next year as we look at the next strategic planning process, as we look at implementing the strategic enrollment management plan, as well as the educational plan throughout the district. The plan is really to move beyond just access and completion, which I think we've done a phenomenal job of. It's really looking and starting to explore as well post-completion outcomes, our partnerships with the universities on transfer, and how can we be better at that, as well as starting to track our students in employment and employment metrics. We're starting to see a movement in various states to tie funding directly to some of those metrics. And we want to be well prepared to have that data and share it and the good things that are happening as our students kind of leave our walls and our campuses. Workforce development remains a major priority. This year's economic and workforce needs across Cochise County continue to grow and evolve. Thanks to the good work again of some of our deans, our faculty, and other staff, we've really strengthened our partnerships with business and industry, as well as some of our municipalities, and working directly with them and asking the question, what else is needed and what can we do from a mission standpoint to help you be successful? Academically and institutionally, a significant amount of work has gone into and been invested this year in our preparation for the upcoming HLC Commission in our comprehensive visit. A lot of that goes to the great work that Dr. Brown is doing, the accreditation committee, and all the work really around that to position ourselves in a really good spot, to really bring together the good things that are already happening and put that into kind of a story, right? So as we move into the break and then come back fresh in the spring, it's really about helping people find their own voice in telling the story of Cochise College as this group comes in and wants to find out about all of the great things that we are doing. Financial stewardship has also been a key theme this year. Thanks to the administration and leadership of Dr. Davis, really focusing on resource responsibility while planning for future investments, including facilities, deferred maintenance, and all of those things throughout the institution. Finally, I want to emphasize our people. Faculty and staff remain the college's most important resource. And I know we don't say it enough, but the work that HR does in their area and that Wick Lewis does in putting a strong emphasis on not only supporting the people that we have, but the thoughtful recruitment takes us down the road, right? It really positions us, especially when we know that we've got some key figures that are going to retire in the next few years. How do we position ourselves to maintain that body of knowledge for the institution, yet get us further down the road in regards to our mission? So overall, this past year has really been about continuing to strengthen the groundwork that has been laid by those before us, and about building or looking forward to building on the year ahead of us, with being disciplined, intentional, and really focused on what we do from a mission standpoint. Mr. Chair and Board, that concludes my report. If you have any questions, I'm free to answer them.
Questions?
No.
Very good.
Thank you, Dr. Perry.
Actually, I have to give general comments, don't I? Yes. All right. Apologize. I have one more page. Turn the page one more time. Some general comments, community engagements. On November 16th through the 22nd, the Women's Soccer Championship Tournament took place in Oklahoma. Our girls did fantastic. We're so very proud of them. First time that they've made the national tournament. We'll be looking to do something at the January board meeting to recognize them and the coaches' effort in all of that they've done. November 19th, I had the AC4 President's Chancellor's meeting. November 21st, I attended the President's Student Leadership Academy. That is such a great event, not only to hold, but to see kind of the next generation as you help build those students' leadership capacity, knowing that, who knows, someday they may be working for Cochise College or be moving things within the community. But that's about kind of that. It warms my heart to think that's what we're all about, is students and helping them develop. I attended on November 21st. I attended the Hispanic Chamber Mixer. November 24th, myself and Dean Molina met with Ann Stevens representatives on the viticulture grant to continue to cultivate that relationship. November 26th, I met with the Cochise County legislators, as I mentioned. December 4th was the Police Academy graduation. 26 students, our largest class ever. So super proud of all the work that's being done there for law enforcement as they continue to protect and serve our communities. On that note, we do have a meeting coming up with the Sheriff's Department to possibly explore the corrections piece for training corrections officers and what that might look like. December 6th, I was a judge in the Sierra Vista Holiday Parade. I always enjoyed doing that. Thank you, Jen Wants, and our team for making sure that they were present in the float there. On December 7th, I attended the Holiday Open House at the University of Arizona President's Home in Tucson. So it was a chance to chat with him briefly and to continue to cultivate those relationships. And then December 8th, I had a public safety training facility meeting with the city manager of Sierra Vista and the sheriff talking about the possibility of a fire training center to continue to expand the First Responders Academy and what that looked like. And there was some talk about federal agencies as well. So we're going to be continuing to work with the sheriff and the city manager on the possibility that we could be a partner to provide the educational component to that. Some of the upcoming activities, I'll be presenting at the Chaplain's Breakfast on Thursday. They wanted to hear about our nursing program. December 16th, we've got the Holiday Luncheon at the Douglas campus at 11 o'clock. So if any of the board members would like to attend, please let Crystal know. On December 17th, we have the Holiday Luncheon at the Sierra Vista campus starting at 11 as well. Same thing, if you would like to or can attend, please let Crystal know. December 19th, there's an ADOT statewide listening tour in Douglas. December 20th, of course, the through January 4th, the college will be closed for the winter break. And the January 13th governing board meeting will start at 4 p.m. in Sierra Vista. So going back around, Mr. Chair, members of the board, that completes my report.
Thank you again.
Moving on to 1.05.5 was our monthly financial report. That report is in our packet. Was there any questions on that report?
No questions.
1.05.6 was the monthly academic progress report for December 2025. That was in our packet as well. Were there any questions on that report? Moving on to new business. 2.01 is our consent agenda. I need a motion to approve our consent agenda this evening.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 2.02 is the Douglas Campus Drainage Improvement. The administration is requesting that the board adopt a motion to approve a contract with KE&G Construction, Inc. to complete the drainage improvement for the Douglas Campus Buildings 300-400 at a cost not to exceed $365,960. Dr. Perry.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Facilities Department is working on the renovation of the campus, the 400 building. For years, we've had some major drainage issues there, not only in front of that building, but if you're familiar with the building, it leads right into one of the main entryways of the library as well. It's time to take care of that. We saw a proposal through a job order contracted agreement through the city of Tucson with KE&G to go ahead and do that work. You've got the bid proposal in your packet there. There was nothing within the bid proposal that raised eyebrows. I think it's right in line with what we'd see for similar projects. KE&G has done not only projects throughout the county, but we have worked with them extensively as well. If there are any specific questions related to that proposal, we've got Mr. Barrows here in the audience that can answer any questions.
I do have a question. Jim, in the last 10 years, if I remember correctly, this is about a third pass at drainage improvement on the Douglas campus. Do you think we're nearing the end?
Unfortunately, we're not.
We
found that storms are getting a lot more severe, very intense. We have been battling stormwater drainage for, like you said, many, many years. And so we are doing it over a multi-year process.
Okay. Is there a pumping solution that might be in the mix somewhere down the road?
So we do have sump pumps. The issue with the sump pumps or location does not lead well to getting the drainage away from the main campus to the east. So as we move forward with some design work, we're going to have to phase in stormwater drainage separately from the sewer system, since at some point the city of Douglas wants us to hook up to their sewer lines.
Right. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Were there any questions? Any other questions on that? Need a motion to approve?
No move.
Right.
Good move. Second. Any? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 2.03, sabbatical proposal by Brian
Humringhausen.
Second.
Humringhausen.
What he said. Administration requesting a board of co-opted motion to approve the sabbatical request for Mr. Brian for the spring 2027 academic year.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the Brian has submitted the attached proposal within your packet there for sabbatical leave during the spring 2027 academic year. His proposal is specific as he's working through his doctoral coursework to finish up his dissertation, which is something that we've done in the past to support, you know, our faculty in that process. So the administration requests that the board approve his sabbatical.
Very good. Need a motion to approve?
I'll move. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 2.04 is a sabbatical proposal to Mr. Stephen Merkley. Administration is requesting the board adopt a motion to approve the sabbatical request for leave of Mr. Stephen Merkley for the spring 2027 academic year.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So our faculty, Steve Merkley, instructor of biology, has submitted a proposal for sabbatical leave to really continue to do some research that he's passionate about. It's something that we've supported him and his endeavors in the undergraduate research piece. In fact, him and a couple of other faculty have really led that charge to help instill in some of our students what it means to do undergraduate research, which is not something that you commonly see at community colleges. His is a full academic year in order to do this. I know that he's also planning to apply for a Fulbright scholarship in line with this as well, or in addition to this. It's my understanding that even if he doesn't get the Fulbright scholarship, he'll continue with the proposal that he has in the packet there.
Yeah. Spring only.
Oh, is it spring only?
Spring
only. Okay, spring 2000. So it is only one semester. Thank you, Dr. Davis.
Well, he does amazing work, and I'm always tickled to hear about our little troop of beavers there on the same day.
Yes.
So I need a motion to approve the sabbatical for Stephen.
Submit.
Second.
Move and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Information item 3.01. College have received the following information communications. Dr. Perry.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. The Cochise College Cybersecurity Department was recognized in the Cochise Communicator published by the Air and Space Forces Association for support of the Cyber Patriots competition. The Cyber Patriot is the National Youth Cyber Education Program and a Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics Program of the Air and Space Forces Association. I know that Dan Gilmet and his faculty have continued to do this for years. And in fact, it's if it's not just state recognized, it's regionally recognized as well as one of those programs. That is, if others want to start it, they come to Cochise to look at how we've been doing it and how we support and train those students. So kudos to them.
I also received, Mr. Chair, I also received a video of Congressman Juan Ciscomani congratulating Cochise College as a number one community college in Arizona on the House floor. He did, when I took the phone call from him a few weeks ago, he said that he would actually recognize us on the House floor. So if you will entertain me, I'd like to go ahead and cue up the video and show that.
Madam Speaker, I rise today in honor of Cochise College being ranked the number one community college in Arizona, and an honor that faculty, students, alumni, and all Arizonans should be very proud of. Cochise Community College has two campuses and four centers in Cochise County and is known for its affordable tuition and small class sizes and programs that lead to real world success. Cochise College embraces what all colleges should and then strive to be in this amazing country. A product of community college myself, I know firsthand that Cochise College remains committed to helping students create bright futures. Cochise College provides both university transfer programs for those wanting to continue education and also offers workforce-related certificates designed to prepare graduates for immediate employment in Southern Arizona's growing job market. I'm honored to represent Cochise College in Arizona's 6th Congressional District, and I'm incredibly proud of their hard work and commitment of excellence. Congratulations to President James Perry, your board, your faculty, your staff, and all the students that make Cochise College what it is today.
Wonderful. 3.02, Business, Career, and Technical Education Division Report. Mr. Molina.
Good evening, Chair Hudgens, members of the board, Dr. Perry, and guests. Nothing like getting to follow Representative Ciscomani, right? thanks for that. So, I'm excited to have a little bit of time to share some highlights from the Business, Career, and Technical Education Division. And first off, I want to say thank you to the board for the opportunity, not only to share what's on the presentation, but also what's in the white paper that's been provided for you. I also want to take a moment to thank my staff, my assistant dean, Dale Porter, my admin assistant, Kathy Carrillo, who keeps the train on the tracks, to be honest with you. I don't know where it would be without her. And then my instructors, my staff, and student workers, directors, and especially the students who make all of this possible. So a couple of quick things as we go through. It's been a really busy year, much like everyone else on the campus has been busy, but it's all good things, right? I was asked the other day, do I enjoy what I do? And I said, absolutely. I don't feel like this is work. Going through school, I poured concrete and did roofing. That was work, right? This is fun. I'm just enjoying life now to getting to do what I do. So thank you for the opportunities you provide for us to do our work. A couple of things I want to highlight, some initiatives that the board had implemented a while back. Agriculture, our greenhouse is up and running with our second crop now. So these are photos of the first crop of hydroponic tomatoes. We're in the second crop now. As you can see on the left-hand side of it, that's our grow units. So those are in and running. We've actually started working on harvesting the runoff. While the runoff is very minimal, we are using 100% of the water out of the greenhouse to irrigate. So whatever does run off is collected in a catch basin, and then it's used to irrigate the native plants outside of the greenhouse. So Amy's done a phenomenal job with her student workers to really make that happen. I am trying to bring some tomatoes up from Douglas to Sierra Vista every chance I get. And so we're going to have an offloading issue if we continue to do as well with the yields that we have. So that's up and running. A lot of cooperation with facilities. Thank you, Jim. A lot of cooperation with welding, building the racks. So it's been a whole lift on that campus. So it's nice to be there. The vertical towers are going with leafy greens and herbs. She's also growing some strawberries this year. So that's an exciting new development. And then the curriculum was just updated to better serve the community needs, the student needs most of all, and then to really align with transfer requirements for the College of Ag and Life Sciences at the University of Arizona, as well as New Mexico State University, where a lot of our students, a lot of our rodeo team members end up heading to NMSU. And so we're really trying to align there with some connections that we have through that program. So Automotive continues to grow and flourish. That's an exciting program. Their numbers are up. I looked this morning on the enrollment report. I think we're up 4% in that program for fall or first fall enrollments. And so we're looking at continued growth in there. We're actually starting to update the curriculum. That's just gone through with some great help from Janelle and her team, making sure the curriculum is up to date and meeting industry standards. We're using a lot of input from our advisory boards as we start to develop those curriculum changes. And our instructors have been out in the field. I was just talking to Mr. Anderson, who is going out this week to see which rotor turning technology the industry is using in the county, whether it's on vehicle or off vehicle, so that our students are going to be up to date with what they need. So all the way down to when they're doing your brakes, they're going to be doing them right. Let's put it that. Thank goodness, right? The AC and battery cooling trainer is something we're really excited about. The board had an initiative with EV and hybrid for automotive, and that's taken off like wildfire. It's going really well. Alan Anderson is a phenomenal instructor in that area. This training system is an exploded view of the air conditioning and battery cooling system for a EV/hybrid vehicle. It will be the only one of its kind in the United States, and it was completely built by Mr. Anderson. So we'll unveil that through some pictures and hopefully some videos as we get that running. But it'll allow the students to actually see how those batteries are cooled using the same system that the AC is. So if you've ever walked by a Tesla and heard the AC running, the students will get to see how that works in an exploded view. So welding, folks, welding is busting at the seams still. I don't know what we're going to do, but full classes haven't stopped anybody. Let's put it that way. So we had our number of graduates increase from 15 to 72, thanks to some initiatives that were made apparent through program review process. We have 192 students and 960 credit hours. We officially started running 6:30 a.m. courses with welding. So our shop is running from 6:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night. And that's Monday through Thursday. And then we run 8 hours on Friday for our high school classes. So, and we still have wait lists. So the students are finding employment. And one of the exciting pieces about that is we just got Corey Adams, one of our instructors. He received his official certified welding inspector certificate over the past summer. So we have three on staff, which is absolutely unheard of. I don't know of many testing facilities that have two. We have three. We will be working on a fourth as Alex Ashburner progresses through her tenure as an instructor with us full time now. We are one of three accredited testing facilities in the state of Arizona. The other is EVIT in Phoenix or Mesa area, and then Mojave is the only other one. But as far as attached to an educational institution, we are one of three in the state of Arizona that can actually certify welders both in our courses and through from the public. So it's exciting news. We've been going through the certification process. That's going through some changes with the American Welding Society. But again, we are a complete authorized facility we got a renewal about 2 months ago. So that's some exciting news. And I think it'll continue to see the numbers in that program grow. So residential construction. I think you're all aware that Mr. Schlauerbaum will be leaving us after this year. So, but the house is progressing nicely over on First Street. We have, that's number 8, number 9. The property has been secured. It's actually 2 doors south of the house that they're building now. And so it's going well. I'm always amazed at the progress that Doug and Justine, his assistant, can make with, 7 to 8 students. And it's phenomenal. And the quality and craftsmanship that's coming out of that project is absolutely amazing. I watched them go through and redo a baseboard 3 times because it wasn't right. And so I've moved into homes where I wish they were that worried about how the house looked before. Right? But Doug and Justine do a phenomenal job. And the nice thing about it is the skills are there, but also that attention to detail, which I think all of us can understand no matter what profession we're in, that makes a big difference as we progress. So they did complete the program review year 2. That was actually a really fun program review to go through. And their curriculum update, they had not updated curriculum for about 12, 14 years. And yes, the way we build houses has changed, right? So we needed to change the curriculum. We're up to date and flowing nicely with that, thanks to Doug and his team. And again, Janelle's team with and Dr. Brown's team with helping us get through program review has been phenomenal on that. So some students in front of the house right before they put in the garage door. That's always a fun installation time. If you've ever dealt with a garage door, you know exactly what I mean. So. But those are just some big highlights that we had. Some new initiatives, as Dr. Perry said earlier, the Anne-Marie Stevens Viticulture Program is progressing nicely. We do plan to try to roll out some courses in fall here at the Wilcox Center. We seem to have some pretty good interest in doing some classes here with our vineyard partners, our industry partners. Excelsior Mining, which many of us drove past north of the thing this evening as on our way here. Our apprentice program is finalized. It should be going through the state recording process here pretty quick. We have a new apprenticeship coordinator at Excelsior or at Johnson Camp, so that's slowed it down a little bit because we've been onboarding a new person, but that's moving nicely. And then one of the things we're really proud of as not only a division, but as an institution is our AIT or our artificial intelligence courses, 101 and 102 that will come online in the fall. So the idea behind these is really exposing to students how to use AI effectively and efficiently, not to replace thought, but to enhance their efficiency in projects that they're managing. So TJ Chenoweth really ran lead on that. Dr. Brown was instrumental in making those things happen. The curriculum development team was phenomenal. Melissa Fagley couldn't do it without her, and really just a wealth of knowledge. So we're excited about those, and the students are already asking when those will be rolled out. So some exciting initiatives coming up, and you know, we are onboarding AI as quickly as possible. So I'm happy to entertain any questions you may have. And again, thank you for the opportunity.
Questions? I've got a question. In years past, I know it's been hard to keep some of the residential construction guys all the way through the semester. Is that still the case, or are we able to get them to graduation and then out to jobs?
You know, we're doing a lot better with actually keeping them through the entire process. I think part of it is we're doing a better job of having students communicate what the program really is about. But I think most importantly, we're starting to see some industry partners in the community hire our graduates or our completers. And so that's really helped because they're starting to see that those skill sets, yes, there are some marketable halfway through, but they're extremely marketable if you finish. And so that's been the biggest thing that I think has bolstered our success with keeping students in is our industry partners are really starting to recognize and look for that now.
So. Good. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Sure.
I had a question for you on the automotive side of that.
Yes, please.
There was quite a significant change in Sierra Vista when Ed Morse came in and bought everything from Lawley. Lawley was pretty engaged with our college in automotive technology. How are they doing?
We're doing well. I'll be honest. James Krause, Ron Bosley, and Alan Anderson spent a lot of time going out and meeting with the new players in town and spending some time not only in their facilities, but talking to the service managers and asking, what is it that you need and how can we help? That's gone a long way with building those relationships quickly. And we are inviting them to the advisory board meeting in April. And we've had some confirmation and actually excitement to attend. So there's been some great responses to that. But yeah, it was a concern. And the instructors just mobilized and went out and made some really good connections so far. So
that's good to hear. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just want to say thank you to Quint and his team. I mean, they've done a phenomenal job. Again, as we looked at kind of doubling down on CTE and making sure that we're in line with what industry needs. You know, Quint comes from that background, but he's gone above and beyond. He's done a phenomenal job. So thank you, Quint.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Regus 3.03, Workforce Development and Military Programs. Cullen?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, college leaders, first of all, I want to say thank you. A year ago, we sat up here, and I just wanted to really kind of present things that we have done across the college. But before I begin, I want to start with this, is that nothing happens without collaboration. As the leaders, the senior leaders here, fellow deans, executive deans, and leadership here, the community in itself, it is one big team, because no matter how many people that we push through a program, they still need English, they still need math, they still need a pathway to CTE, we still need to communicate with the community. And as Dr. Perry mentioned, that's kind of what we're doing. So it's a big pot of collaboration. So I'm going to sit here and talk about workforce, but really I want to talk about the college and the community on this. On this right here is that as of right now, we have 6 departments under workforce development. And really what I want to do is kind of give a quick update and highlight some of those efforts. I know Dr. Perry has given some updates every month. He gives the initiatives updates. It really includes workforce, as well as we have an insert for one of the departments that we have within the workforce division. So if I breeze through something, please stop me and we can have some discussion on that. I'd rather answer questions from you than just talk for the next for 45 minutes. I promise, Dr. Davis, no, I promise. All right. So on this right here, I want to start with military programs. Again, with military programs, we really have 2 things going on in military programs. One is what we call the MOS programs, where students are almost receiving that dual credit as they're going through their Army training. But we also have a few online courses in which any student can sign up for, or a student that needs additional credit hours to meet their core can go in that also. So you'll see some things on the academic report that shows lower numbers. That's the actual students going through the online portion of the training, not the folks going through the ones through the our various locations. The one thing that I really like to highlight is that, as you've heard before, is that we can't base our success on enrollment numbers going up and down. The Army and the military kind of controls that, but we take the benefit of what's going on. So we actually are in a benefited period. As you see, our enrollments, we're just in our MOS registration stuff that we're doing just on Fort Huachuca in Utah and Georgia, as well as Texas. So it goes up a little bit. So we've had a 12% increase. About a year ago, I talked to Dr. Davis and said, I promised you 3,000 students. I'm at 3738. So we're doing pretty good on that. So really what that does is that's Barbara Lopez and her team on Fort Huachuca that just do such a phenomenal job. We're going through the military. I'll say the Army and the military is going through changes. So curricula is changing. There's some courses that will expand and some courses that will go away. We're positioned to make sure that we can adjust with them, and the team on Fort Huachuca is just doing a phenomenal job on that. So we might see, again, some ebbs and flow in enrollment, but we'll kind of go on this. Major initiatives for military programs really is that increased graduation and retention rate. And as we talked about 2 years ago, we did that Military Navigator Initiative where we reached out to 19,357 students that attended or took credit hours but never did anything with them. So we're continuing that process, and Janelle and her team just gave us another download. Now we're only at 2,457, something like that. So we're reaching out to all those students to let them know, hey, listen, we still have an opportunity. Do something with those credit hours. Come back through us or transfer. Do something with it. But we also would love to have a path to get your AAS to the BAS and then move you on to a master's degree program on that. Any questions on the military programs? In early college, I really want to kind of highlight a little bit of things on the early colleges. Quint talked about early college is so tied into not only business and CTE, but all of the other departments and divisions. English, math, psychology, CTE programs. So we're really having an increase. So as you see that, we have an 8% increase. The one good thing that working with Beth and her team is that we're really working on the medical side. How can we get them CNA, MA, EKG, get those not only in Sierra Vista and Douglas, but in Wilcox, in Benson, and the surrounding community. So we're spending a lot of time and effort on really putting that messaging out. And again, that collaboration and coordinated effort between everybody within the community as the college to have one central message so that we can provide a pathway for them. We're launching a thing called Ed Ready. As you've heard before, we've talked about this many times before, is that there are some challenges when it comes to English and math at the high school level. We're launching an Ed Ready program, which is supposedly, we hope, hope's not a good course of action, but we believe that it will help us with that proficiency in English and math and bring those students up to that level that we need them at the college side. Any questions on early college? Adult education. Now, on adult education, Kara, our director of adult education, she has not been here a year yet. So we've had a couple of leadership changes, and adult education was one. She came in, I stole her from Beth. But what happened is that really what we did is that we took this as an opportunity to really see what we were doing in adult education. As Dr. Perry mentioned, that this is all part of Workforce Pell. It's going to be all part of kind of figuring out with Department of Labor. But this is the opportunity to really provide a good pathway. The one thing that I really want to kind of focus on is the increase in HSE, which is high school equivalency, otherwise known, you might know it as GED. So we've had a 27% increase in HSE graduation rates, which is great. Our enrollment numbers are down a little, but our graduation numbers are up a lot, and I think that's a pretty good thing. It's very direct and focused across Cochise County. We're working very closely with the administration leadership to maybe even expand to Graham and Greenlee County since they do not have an adult ed program. More to follow on that. Any questions? Good. Small Business Development Center. As you all know, Mark retired last year after 16 years, so we had to find a new director. Keisha Barnett came in, and we're really rebuilding the Small Business Development Center. Couldn't be happier with her job and her staff or as they're rebuilding and doing different things. Not only did we lose Mark, we also lost one of the business analysts. So now we're hiring for business analysts as well as a new dream builder analyst, which is just something else to help to develop capability across Cochise County. We're really tying in, instead of Small Business Development Center sitting in their corner of the downtown center, they're tied into everything that we're doing. Small business should be a part of business CTE. They should be a part of the academics. They should be part of workforce CLL, and we're tying that in. So we're going to start what we call a Business 101 roadshow going across the county where you have all of us sitting there to see what we can do to support new businesses as well as current businesses and training needs as it goes by. Center for Lifelong Learning. Anna and her team, Anna Smith and her team, are doing a really good job there. As I really want to highlight the 43% increase in contract training. You heard over the couple briefings that Dr. Perry has done, as well as in your initiative slides or your handouts, is that we've done a lot of work with SSVEC, Arizona G&T, Copper Queen, all the hospitals, all these major businesses. It's really about leadership training and some of that soft skill training that they need. So we've really increased that. Our numbers went down as far as students served, but our contract training has went up. So we're being very specific and deliberate on what we're training. It's not just training everything. Let's see what really matters in the county, and let's really hit that more than we can. However, that does create some challenges, is that in order to do higher level, higher skill training, we've got to have qualified instructors. So we're working that very closely, working with Dr. Davis and her team, as well as all the divisions to see if people can come in and serve as contract or core instructors for CLL. And if you know anybody, please send them our way also. Workforce development. The one thing that I really want to really talk about here is the OSHA. And I know it's a small thing. A couple weeks ago, I was standing in front of the Office of Economic Opportunity at the governor's office, and everybody's talking about billions and billions of dollars of semiconductor stuff. And I'm saying, well, I trained 10 people in OSHA. I kind of felt bad. But then remember who we are. So we did a 55% increase in OSHA training. And really, it was because we did it at the high school level. So those individuals, high school students that was going into the CTE programs, is that we trained them in OSHA so that they could be prepared for CTE. Again, just a part of that collaboration that we work together on, just to make sure that we're hitting the needs of the county. The OSHA also with a new port of entry, that's one of the requirements that Hensel Phelps said that they would like to have people to have. So we really focused on that. That's why that huge number OSHA has increased. And now we have 4 certified OSHA outreach trainers, which is pretty good for Cochise College, so we can really do that. project management professional. We've talked about that. That's for really for Fort Huachuca and some of the contracting companies. We launched our first PMP last year. We hope to do another one in the spring. But now it is tuition assistance eligible from the Army. So now the Army can pay for that, which is $1,999. That a student doesn't have to pay for, but a tuition assistance scheme. So really, in kind of summary, based on just this division, but I said we don't do it alone, but in this division, there's 11,227 enrollments just in the last year from last October through the end of October this year. And it's about the community. We truly believe, and we talk about it, is it is one community, it is one team, and it's one college. We can't do it alone. So we have that collaboration. We can talk, and we can tell somebody it doesn't sound right. And I've been told that quite a few times. Hey, Colin, think of, you know, redirect that a little bit. But it's that communication, not only from the leadership within the college and your guidance, but also from the community members. We're deeply, deeply tied in. So on behalf of the Workforce Division of Cochise College, I want to say thank you for your guidance. From military programs to now workforce development, it's been an exciting year. What are your questions?
Questions? No.
Mr. Chair, if I may real quick. So I'm sure many of you, you're old enough to have seen the stop animation holiday movie, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. One of the things that comes to mind, and I affectionately said this to his predecessor, but this area was the land of misfit toys, right? Where we had this smattering of various areas, right, that all do good work, but it wasn't really until Cullen came into this position that I think things really started to click. You've heard me talk about student-centered, community-anchored, and future-ready. And I think that the work that he's doing in his division really speak to that. I couldn't be more pleased with the work that he's doing, the work that his team are doing to make sure that community needs are really being met. So I still will probably call it the land of misfit toys, but I say it affectionately.
We say the same thing, sir.
Just one comment. You mentioned the semiconductor work that's going on in the North Valley of Phoenix, and I've been to that plant, had a little private tour of what was going on. That's an amazing project.
It is.
There's nothing happens on that property if you haven't gone through OSHA training.
Yes, sir.
Those are critical pieces, the first aid, CPR, and the OSHA training. If you're going to put a hard hat on or grab a pair of gloves or pick up a tool, that's mandatory that happens. So thank you for everything you're doing to help these kids prepare.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your guidance.
Can I make a comment as well?
Sure.
I think that what Cullen and his whole college is working together on, I think is going to do well, at least in my mind, in the change from the Department of Education into the Department of Labor. I think that we're kind of ahead of that curve just a little bit, because the monies are going to be worried about what kind of job can people get when they get out. How does that develop the workforce? And I think the collaboration is doing a great job in getting people ready to weld, to go into a hospital, to do whatever it is they want to go do. They'll be ready to go do that. And the money coming through the Department of Labor, I think, is going to be more focused in that area, in my opinion.
Again, thank you.
Thanks. Well, it's only 5 o'clock in the evening, and either I missed something or it was out of here. Doesn't feel normal. Okay, bring us number four. Comment from governing board members.
I just made mine.
Okay.
I'll make one.
Well, I want to thank everybody for all these goodies. I don't know where they all came from. Dr. Perry, thank you. And Mark, I know you. The rest of them, thank you. I don't know where they came from. But anyway, Merry Christmas to everybody, and thank you.
Just amazed at the phenomenal work. Yet again, these are two more aspects within the college that are just high achieving, doing phenomenal work, changing lives, serving the community. And I'm always in awe and amazed at, you know, the dedication and the hard work from all the staff, faculty, administration. It's just absolutely amazing. So thank you and enjoy your, may you have a blessed holidays.
Happy holidays and very impressive for that, two growing areas.
Well, thank you all for all you do for our students. Cochise College is number one because of your efforts. Now stay there with your efforts. We have an amazing team here that is unlike most everyone else in Arizona. So thank you all. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and hope that 2026 brings amazing things to all of you. Thank you.
You're here.
And with that, this meeting's adjourned.